Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is November 2nd, 2016. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 17,959, the NASDAQ at 5105, and the S&P at 2097. Tonight, we are discussing divorce with Stan Corey, author of the book, The Divorce Dance. And of course, we'll take listeners' questions as well. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori's in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so we can hear you without the delay and we can talk without confusion. If you would like to talk live on air, you can certainly do so. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, give your question to Lori. She'll jot it down and she'll bring it into the studio. The number to call is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. As I mentioned, we're talking about divorce tonight. You would be surprised, I guess, maybe not in how many people end up being divorced, but how many people might not be prepared for it. So we came upon this book. It's a great read, actually, believe it or not, on the divorce dance. And the author is Stan Corey. He is a certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, and certified private wealth advisor. His career in financial services spans over 35 years. As a sought-after expert, Stan regularly provides financial commentary at national conferences, in print and online publications, and on TV. He's appeared in USA Today, Working Woman, Money, and Good Housekeeping. He also has a website with lots of information, and the website is divorcedance.com. And we are thankful to have Stan with us. Stan, welcome to the show. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited because I was fortunate enough to have this book land in my lap and was very curious about it. I myself have had to help a few clients through some of the shenanigans that go on with divorce, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about some things that people have to pay attention to. But can you first tell us a little bit about yourself and the reason behind writing the book?
Sure. Basically, about 25 years or so ago, I went through a divorce, and I realized that the lawyers were wonderful, but they did not have a really good, sound basis in the financial aspects of divorce. And so they were left with the impression that basically they help you come to a decision, but there's no real understanding of what the consequences of those decisions are. So I developed a program that was a divorce financial analysis program, and I started going out and talking to more attorneys about it. And then I got involved in mediation. I got involved in collaborative divorce. And through a number of years, I realized that the key goal was to figure out a way to help people go through a divorce in a more respectful manner so that the outcome would be much more beneficial to the whole, to all parties involved, especially when children are involved, because they are a key factor that many times are ignored in the process but suffer some of the more harsh consequences.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, I think it's a more respectful process for the parties and also the financial advisors and attorneys. They all appreciate when that process is a more mutually respectful. So as I was looking through the book, I realized it read like a story, and I'm sure that was intentional on your part. It really pulls you into the narrative. And what I found really interesting as I was reading it, and again, I have a little bit of background on paying attention to some of these aspects, but I was even having aha moments as I was reading it. And I thought for someone who may be contemplating divorce or thinking about it, or you might be suspectful that you could be the victim of that, it really was quite interesting. So I think it really reflected situations that people could find themselves in. So for example, you had said at the beginning, parents with sons and daughters spend less than an hour discussing the divorce with them. And that goes to the point that you just made and why you wanted to do this, that so often the children are ignored. And I think that could be a great place to start. So you agree?
Yes. I think that one of the hard parts is that we get in people going through divorce is that they are so involved in the concept of the two of them and the relationship between themselves that they forget about the kids, and then all the ancillary issues with that, how they're being affected, and their needs for the emotional needs that they have. Many times children will feel they're the blame, but also then you start going extended family and think of, well, are there grandparents involved? Are there other people involved that are also outside viewing the situation? But the children are the ones who take this to their heart the most, and without enough time to really absorb what's happening and letting them know that even though mom and dad are not going to stay together, the mom and dad still love and care for them and going to work through a situation where they're going to be okay. But that is not communicated to them very well in many cases. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really imperative to do that. And one of the areas in the book we talk about is what's called parenting plans. Mm-hmm. And parenting plans is a key component of knowing how to communicate with the two spouses in a way that is beneficial for the children.
And I think that's a huge incentive to do this right. So when children are involved, and we're going to talk through this hour, sometimes children aren't involved as well, but I wanted to give, you do talk about a lot of guidelines, and we're going to try to get to those. But I also wanted to share some quotes or observations from the beginning of the book that could help set the stage for this process and why it's important to go through the process in a disciplined way as much as you can. And so just a few of these observations or quotes. So one was, you said, higher income spouses tend to recover fairly quickly once the divorce is final. And I think that is something that people should pay attention to. I'm going to repeat that. Higher income spouses tend to recover quickly once the divorce is final. Number two, complicated. So the resources that are available out there for people are either too complicated or they oversimplify the complexities of divorce. So I think that's something that people really have to get their arms around. So it could be too complicated, or if you try to do it yourself, it could be too complicated, or you yourself have maybe oversimplified things. So you want to make sure you understand all the moving parts. Number three, in negotiating a settlement, the numbers are all that matter. I thought that was curious. Number four, we fought endlessly. This was a quote in chapter 5, page 41. We fought endlessly over small stuff and didn't invest enough time addressing things that would become big problems later. So, Stan, the reason I kind of wanted to go over that was what we're going to talk about in the rest of the show is the cast of characters that are involved in the divorce, and also the different types of divorce. And if we follow kind of your methods and a more disciplined approach, I think we're going to try to help address some of these issues that could end up being roadblocks or causing hiccups as you go along the way. Again, watching out if there is a higher income spouse, that we want to make sure that the the lower earner is going to be taken care of. We want to make sure we understand the complexities and not oversimplify it. We want to make sure we understand the numbers, and we want to keep the couples focused, or have them work on not paying attention to the small things. All of that with also paying attention to the children. So, Stan, we're taking our first break, and hang on the line, and we are going to come back. We're going to talk about the divorce dance back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have with me this evening on the line my guest, Stan Corey, author of The Divorce Dance. Stan is a CFP and a chartered financial consultant and a certified private wealth advisor. We are talking about divorce and what you have to pay attention to. Now, Stan, before we go further, I did have a question from Allentown from Jeff, and we'll see if how we can do with answering this. My lawyer doesn't seem as involved as I think he should be. It's the first divorce, and Jeff asks, can I fire him and hire a new lawyer? We are only 4 to 5 months into the situation. There's no children involved. So do you have any comments with that much information?
Well, one of the things that you have to realize is, unfortunately, lawyers have more than one client, and they tend to take care of the hot button at the time. And if they're preparing for a court appearance, then their focus is on that court appearance. What you should be doing is making sure that the information that you provided, and that there is some opportunity to have a conversation about what is really necessary in that situation as far as their divorce. And if you feel like you're getting absolutely no response, you have to communicate that and say, hey, you know, I'm concerned that I've provided this information. We've had a couple of meetings or had a couple of conversations, but the follow-up has been a little bit lacking, and I would like to understand what the program is with that attorney, or what the procedure is with that attorney, I guess, and how they plan to go forward. And if you don't get a satisfactory response, then, you know, certainly you should be talking to another attorney. And in a lot of times, depending on the community that you're in, most family lawyers all know each other. And so it's just a matter of communicating with someone else. But I think that you have to let the attorney know that you have some unhappiness about their response time, and see if that can't be corrected first before I'd make a change.
That's great advice, Stan. And I think sometimes people have the fear that the attorney's going to charge them, you know, for every time they have a phone call. But this would be a phone call that would be worthwhile having.
Absolutely. You have to follow up and not make assumptions. That's the hard part.
Okay. So, Stan, in your book, you're talking about all of these different things that we have to pay attention to, and this divorce dance, but basically we want to be engaged in that process. And you discuss the five elements of divorce and the different types of divorce proceedings. So I thought maybe at a high level we could talk about first what are the five elements, and then see if we can kind of drill into them. So what are the five elements of divorce?
Oh. Basically, when you think about divorce, there's a couple of key components, and I think you have to kind of have this vision of what the end result is kind of at first. Most people get into a divorce, and they are emotionally distraught. Even the person that may be the one that instigated the divorce has other emotional issues going on, and you're not really being able to make clear and good, solid judgments. And what you need to look at is, what are the consequences of my decisions? As I go through a divorce process, what will this mean to me down the road? Too many times people make decisions based upon a number or the value of things, and then after the fact, a year or so later, they wake up to the reality that their choices may have not have been so good because they end up with a property or an asset that is not what they thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it goes back to understanding the true value of assets and also the emotional side of it. I refer to it as emotional currency that you're willing to spend throughout the process. So when you put this all together, by having a more transparent type of a plan, which is part of the things that we talked about, having the ability to look through things and understand what they are, gaining knowledge base of the various issues involved, and having some clarity in those things will help guide you along the way in making better decisions. Mm-hmm. It is a much better program when you can have other experts helping you, whether not just your attorney, but having a mental health professional involved, because it is there are so many emotions involved, even for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Consideration of having an advocate for the children who is a mental health professional who can help give information to you and feedback to you about how the children are dealing with things that can help you influence the decision process. So that's another aspect that's really important. And I think that the open and free flow of information is really important as well. The problem is many times people get involved with two attorneys who are negotiating on their behalf, and you're leaving it to the attorneys to do all the negotiation. And at the end, they'll turn to you and say, is this okay? And you're scratching your head. If you haven't been a participant in the process, how will you know if this is the right thing for you? And I think that's a key component. So I prefer that the participants have a stake in the game. In other words, that they are actually an active participant in the process. And therefore, they end up with some ownership of the process. And as a result, when there's an ownership in the process, they're more likely to retain the agreement and follow the agreement as it's drafted. It's so many people come back and they have concerns later on, and they try to readdress those concerns after the fact.
Right.
But the reality is you can't go back and change your property settlement agreement, other than with support issues and some other things in there. But generally, the property settlement agreement dealing with your property division is something that, that is, once it's signed off on, it's done. You can't do a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frustrating for people that wake up a year later and realize they got the wrong assets.
Stan, I have two questions. One, have you been involved with, in cases where, for the children's sake, they have used a mental health professional and it's you feel it's made a difference, and cases where maybe they haven't? So that's my first question.
Well, yes, absolutely. In collaborative divorce process, mental health professionals are commonly used with children, but even outside of the collaborative process, in normal negotiation process, the traditional approach where you have the negotiation going on, or having the children, if they are not getting assistance during the process, there is a high percentage of children that need to have therapy after the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, by having them involved earlier on, it will, can help avoid or reduce the need for the after-divorce therapy.
Okay. We're going to talk about the different kinds of divorces in a little bit. But my second question was, you had mentioned about the open and free flow of information and how important it is for the parties to be involved with that as much as the attorneys, and how sometimes you see where it's the attorneys talking back and forth and not the couple. And then, you know, some time period later, all of a sudden, the parties are saying, what, you know, what are these numbers? Can we rework these? So how often do you find that the attorneys approve that free flow of information? I mean, because typically you do have the attorneys talking to each other. So how do you broach that? Who broaches it? Is it the parties involved? Do attorneys agree with it?
Well, first off, the attorneys are there to each represent your best interest. That's the point of having an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there to, but they base that on the information you provide.
Mm-hmm.
So as much information as they're provided, that's what they have to go upon. They're not going to look past that. And an attorney's goal, which is really key to understand, is to reach an agreement. Because once they reach an agreement, their job is done. They don't care about what happens a year later or 2 years later or 5 years later. You know, their concern is to reach an agreement that you buy into. So whatever the agreement is, they're going to come back to you. If you left it purely to them to negotiate on your behalf, mm-hmm. they're negotiating based on the numbers and the information they have. They come to you and say, is this something you are okay with, and review it with you, and you agree, and then you sign off. So you're making the final decision in each of these cases, but sometimes when you're making that final decision, do you clearly understand what you're agreeing to? Mm-hmm. And many times people do not, and that's my concern, is that the lawyer, when you leave it to the lawyers to make all of the negotiations on your behalf, you are not part of the process. Mm-hmm. And you're more or less standing by providing information, and then you're asked to make this, you know, final decision, and you're going, I guess so, but many people depend on their attorney incorrectly to say that the attorney, yes, may have my best interest in trying to do the best they can, but they're not going to have to live with whatever the results are. Okay. You're going to have to live with the results.
Okay.
So unless you truly understand that, it's going to be tough.
Okay. I'm going to our next break, and when I come back, I'm going to have a follow-up question to that. So, folks, we are talking with Stan Corey, author of The Divorce Dance, and also who has a website, divorcedance.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking with the author of The Divorce Dance, Stan Corey. His website, Stan, your website doesn't include the word the, is it correct? It's
I think you get there either way, but
okay.
Yeah, technically it's divorcedance.com. The Divorce Dance, if you Google that or get to that, you'll end up the right place.
Okay. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can ask questions live on air or off air. And I just want to point out that it's amazing how often people are surprised by this. And Stan, in the book, when you're talking about a couple and it's like a fictional story, you really get pulled into it, Natalie and Jim, and there are other cast of characters, which we'll talk about in a minute. But you realize some people are surprised. Some people might know it's coming, but might not think it's going to happen. We just had an alert today that a client said that he's going through a possible divorce. So it happens, and I think it's something that we should probably be aware of. And in fact, some of the lessons even in the book are about transparency and communication with your children and communication with each other. Some of these are good lessons even if you're not getting divorced. It's something to be, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's something to watch out for. Now, I did have one other follow-up question, and then I want to talk about those elements again, the cast of characters and what you mean by self-determination in your book. But back to this open and free flow of information and being involved in the process rather than just waiting for the attorneys to kind of analyze the assets and the asset division and the property settlement agreement, about being involved. At what point do you think the parties should try to be more involved? Should the parties be talking to each other as part of the negotiation at all? Are you saying that? And if so, should it be a bit of more open communication right from the beginning, or we see how that goes?
Well, it's one of those answers that always starts with, it depends.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so one of the things is that if the parties are amicable in mm-hmm. their situation and trying to work it, they may have had conversations mm-hmm. and discussions about what they feel is important, and a number of things may have been resolved, And what they're focusing in on are specific issues that they're having a dispute about. And in those cases, it might behoove them to consider a mediator. Mm-hmm. Their mediator gets involved and then helps them through the process of coming to an agreement upon these specific issues. A mediator could help you all through the whole process as well, as more, again, where you have more self-determination than you would have if you were letting the lawyers negotiate purely on your behalf. So having mediation is another alternative, which allows that process to go through where you're having your input, your say, and you're having more of a neutral person involved. Mm-hmm. The idea is to whichever format you utilize, is to get your information out, have you come to an understanding of what the real assets are and how they're going to impact you in the future, and what does it mean for you as you go forward. One of the key issues I find with a lot of my lady clients is that there's this inherent fear. I kind of teasingly have written about it on several blogs about the bag lady gene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's this fear that they're going to be left under a bridge, and mm-hmm. even though they may be doing okay, but there's this fear. And because it's a fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have maybe been supported more by their husband, and they have raised their family, and they've done all these things, and you find it's a later in life divorce, all of a sudden all these plans that they had seen or visualized of their husband retiring, they're doing all these things, now they're faced with, wow, I'm going to be all by myself, mm-hmm. and how am I going to manage? So there's a lot of different, again, going back to the emotional aspects of things, and again, why it's so important to try to figure out if you can develop a way to be more involved, to have more ownership, to have more understanding, and not be afraid to ask questions if you don't understand something, and to, you know, raise your hand and say, hey, I'm really unclear about this. What is this going to mean for me? Is a critical aspect of this. Instead of nodding your head that the numbers look the same, but the numbers could be vastly different, as you and I both know,
right.
You know, depending on the tax consequences, the other things that are involved. So sometimes I often show a whole list of things saying where the numbers look equal, and the reality is they're anything but.
Right.
When you look past the numbers themselves and understand where they came from.
Right. So don't be a victim. Be a champion for yourself.
Right. You know, and that's what the book is about. It is a novel. You keep referencing it as a story, and it is. What I found is it was easier to be to teach through story. As you and I in our professions do, we talk to people about their stories, their life stories. So divorce is a story as well. It's going through this process of a divorce, but it's a story. So the idea, instead of being a textbook, was to give people an opportunity they could read through something and gain different pieces of throughout it that might reflect their situation. But also I give a greater understanding of different processes that are available to them to help them through one of the most difficult challenges in their life,
right.
And that will have such a long-lasting impact in their life. So do all you can. Do your homework. Be involved, and don't just relinquish your future to a person. You know, I always, in the book, I refer to the last place in the world you want to be is in court, letting a judge make the decisions that will affect the rest of your life in a matter of just a few hours.
Right.
You know, it is so, there are times when the court is necessary, but truly the vast, vast majority of time, the last place you want to be is letting a judge make those decisions for you.
Mm-hmm. Stan, we have a caller, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to our break. Jeff, can we go to our break now? Stan, we're going to go to our break. Nancy, I want you to hang on the line, and we're going to take your question when we come back from the break. So you are listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking with Stan Corey, the author of The Divorce Dance. Nancy and Stan, hang on. Back in a minute.
Thank you for calling WDIY. Jeffrey speaking. This is WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 70 degrees under fair skies, cloudy, lows around 54. Thursday, showers, highs around 73. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, sunny skies with highs each day in the upper 50s. Please stay tuned.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you're back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We have in the studio, or not in the studio, on the line with us, Dan Corey, author of The Divorce Dance. And we are taking questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And we have Nancy on the line. Nancy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Nancy. How can we help you?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say this was a very good topic, and I agree with most of what Mr. Corey is saying. But the one thing that I would disagree with in my experience here in the Lehigh Valley is that the lawyers don't necessarily want what is in the best interest of the client, but rather what's in the best financial interest of themselves. And my experience is that they can often drag a case out, because if they resolve the case, they don't get paid anymore. And that's a frustration that I have found. But my question is how to deal with a spouse and a lawyer who really doesn't want to cooperate. There is, you know, one lawyer here in the Lehigh Valley whose modus operandi is to keep the case going as long as possible so the spouse gets so frustrated that they just give in. And she uses children as pawns in the case. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if he could comment on how to deal with a situation like that.
Stan, can you go ahead?
Well, I'm sorry that that's the case. There are always lawyers in different areas who we sometimes refer to as attack dogs or other things, where their mode of operation is basically that they're going to attack or they're going to create scenarios to make life very difficult for the other party. In Northern Virginia, we've had some classic ones. They used to call for meetings on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve or other things to make life a little more challenging for the parties to attend and then claim that they were unwilling to participate. So, yes, there are always going to be some outliers out there that are not going to be the nicer type of attorney to deal with. The vast majority of attorneys are certainly out there, to help clients through this process. There's a lot of work out there. There's a unlimited number of, unfortunately, unlimited number of people going through divorce. So I think they need to get through their divorce process and move on to the next case. When you run into a case,
I'm just going to hang up here because I really can't hear you. So okay. I'm going to hang up and listen on it to the radio.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Okay.
Stan, what about, too, like sometimes a master will step in? Can one party force that?
Well, the thing is that you have to have the conversation with your attorney and say, okay, this other attorney appears to be being very aggressive or making requests that are necessary, or there's this whole litany of things going on, and that can happen. There's plenty of cases where somebody might get what we call being papered a lot. They're constantly asking for new information, constantly giving them interrogatories, other things that require a lot of information that's unnecessary or seems to be extending it. So you need to have that conversation with your own attorney and say, what kind of things can you be doing to stop this or to stand up to this or just to prevent it? And you need to get their counsel on the best method because they all know each other and they know how to deal with it. And that attorney needs to get on the horn with the other one and say, okay, this is the situation. Let's move forward. How do we get past this time? And again, if there is an impasse where you're not able to move forward, that again may be an opportunity to suggest maybe having a mediator. A mediator can come in and say, okay, we have this one particular issue. We're going through all this stuff, and our lawyers are dealing with this, but there's this one issue that's becoming the thing that's stopping us from moving forward. We cannot get past this issue. You have what's called an impasse in these issues, and you need to have maybe another party sit down with the two husband and wife and try to figure out how to resolve that particular issue. And what happens is, because the attorneys are focused on the legal aspects and the different things, whereas the mediator can go through things and really gain a much better understanding of the reasoning behind why someone feels the way they do or why someone's objecting to something so severely when it really may not make a lot of normal sense from the outside. I mean, it could be, you know, fighting over Fido.
Right,
you know, so,
right.
You know, you can end up ruining your whole divorce process over who gets the dog. So part is, or there may be some other emotional attachment to something that was not really disclosed well, that, you know, that X, Y, Z has some emotional attachment that is causing that person not to be able to make a clear decision.
Mm-hmm.
Those things can be uncovered through a good mediation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this, again, goes back to why there's having the opportunity to seek additional advisors or additional professionals to help you through this process needs to be always out there as an available resource. There are some lawyers that are trained in collaborative, there are lawyers who are mediators, but there are plenty of lawyers who practice law and the family law practice as such and as a traditional process or in litigation. But all of these other participants are players in the process that can be utilized at the appropriate time.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because you talk in the book about the cast of characters.
They are characters, too.
And to your point, Fido can actually be a character. I mean, you know, part of the cast. Which, if this is kind of all flushed out at the beginning, it could certainly, I would expect, kind of expedite the process a little bit if there's a little bit of work on the front end. So if you could just quickly talk, because I want to get to talking about the collaborative divorce, because I think that's where the power is in your book, amongst other things to think about. But so can we quickly talk about, what do you consider the cast?
Okay, sure. The cast of characters typically is that when you go through a divorce process, you really do need a lawyer. Some people try to think they can do a divorce without a lawyer, but a lawyer is necessary to make sure that the proper things are addressed that are required in your jurisdiction, your state, whatever the requirements are, that the language is properly in there, and the things like that. Or for reviewing, if it's done through a mediator, you still want a lawyer to review things to make sure that things are being done in a manner that take care of the legal aspects of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the characters. And a mediator, if you use a mediator either as a person or to go through the full divorce process, or as a separate neutral to take care of specific cases, a mediator is someone who can help you understand the issues, but they're not going to represent either party as a lawyer or mental health professional, whomever they might be as a background. They may be a social worker who's a trained mediator, but they're there to help you understand the aspects of the different aspects of the situation or understand issues better so that you can come to an agreement. I think that having a mental health professional is an important aspect for people that are going through difficult divorce because of all the emotional issues that are happening. So having a therapist that can help you grasp some of the things and deal with some of the issues, it will help you make better decisions in the fact of understanding what is emotionally drawing you to those decisions and understanding how to let go, where people sometimes, I always refer to, get hung up on things at times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it is, you know, Aunt Susie or whatever gave me this,
mm-hmm.
or that, you know, you've hidden this coin collection and I know it's worth, you know, $138 and I'm going to battle you over it.
Right. Or even the fear, too.
Right. Or the fear of, or fear that you're going to be left out on the street or
mm-hmm.
all those things. So you need to have a way to deal with that. And I think so having a therapist can be helpful. I also believe, in my profession, is that people do, if they don't already have a financial person, having somebody that can help them understand the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're somebody who has been the less well-informed person in the party, then you definitely need to have someone, whether it be a CPA or CFP or someone else, who can help you understand what the numbers mean, understand the differences between a after-tax program versus a pre-tax program, personal assets versus retirement assets, all those kinds of things, and what the tax consequences are
right.
To those things, then that's an important aspect, because one of the things I demonstrate is that you can have an A and a B asset, and they look perfectly fine. And I've talked about it in the book about, you know, you can have something, and they're both worth $100,000, so you trade off each, but you find out that the $100,000 asset has got a cost basis of 50, while the other one has a cost basis of 150.
Right.
Totally different asset.
Or a $100,000 house is not the same as a $100,000 retirement
exactly.
account.
Exactly. So, right. you know, and then you think about what are the cost of retaining those assets.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas a house has all the maintenance and insurance and taxes, whereas a retirement account really doesn't have a whole lot of cost associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those types of things are critical to understand in the division of the property assets. And
mm-hmm.
Without all the, and what I try to address in the book is forming your own team. So in a collaborative process, you have teams. Both sides have a team. There's an openness and a transparency and all these other things that go on, and self-determination in a collaborative process. But many times people don't get to go through collaborative. They choose mediation, or they choose the traditional or whatever. And it's not, though, that you can't have your own team. Even if you're just yourself and your spouse has chosen to have an attorney, why should you not have a therapist? Why should you not have your own financial person to help you and guide you through some of these things and gain greater understanding so that you can make better decisions about the division of the property? That's a critical, in my point, absolutely critical component. The other part of it is having a financial person that can help you interpret the results of your decisions. In other words, what you and I, Lori, do is a lot of times we help our people understand what the future means to them. What they mm-hmm. save and do this and do that, and how is it going to affect their retirement? How is it going to affect their cash flow? How is it going to affect their living circumstances? People come up with the division of property and think they've done it, and then 2 years later they're going, oh my God, what did I do? So they realize they can't support their lifestyle in the manner they thought they could. And we need to bring reality to them and help them understand what their situation is going to look like, what their overall financial life is going to look like in the future.
Stan, I just had a property settlement agreement someone asked me to look at before they signed, and it referred to a spouse's W-2 income. And I said, well, which box on the W-2? Because there's gross. There's Medicare wages, there's
right.
federal wages, there's different kinds of income on a W-2. And not to mention, when you're looking at income, they were silent when they were talking about a partnership interest, which generated quite a bit of income. So supposedly the attorneys thought, oh, it was all the same kind of income. And I said, well, yeah, until we go to interpret the document a year later after it's been signed, and someone says, no, we agreed to just W-2 income. So, you know, there is some...
Right. What if they defer to, if they only, the people many times will only look at the tax return.
Right.
And as you and I know, the tax return is the taxable income, not the gross income.
Right, right.
And all these things are based on gross income, and same with investment income. In most jurisdictions, when they look at income under, in Virginia, it's a code section there, but they look at all income. It's not just earned income, it's unearned income.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got assets that generate dividends and interest, or, you know, capital gains, all these other things, how does that impact the decision?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a multitude of things to get involved with. One of the other things that I always throw out is, in many jurisdictions, the child reaches emancipation at age 18. So if you were going to court or dealing with most legal issues, college is never a consideration because it's not part of the determination, because it's post-emancipation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of the things in a process where you're negotiating together through traditional negotiation or through collaborative or mediation, you can include college expenses and college cost in the agreement. Whereas if you were in a court situation, they are not going to address that because it's past emancipation. They're only going to deal with children up to the point of emancipation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's little things like that that are also very important to be aware of. So I truly believe that having the opportunity to negotiate with and working with other professionals and having a team approach, getting a respectful result, realizing that everybody's still going to be a family interacting, the kids are still going to interact, you've got graduations and possible weddings and hopefully maybe blessed with grandchildren and all these other things, you're going to know each other the rest of your lives if there are children involved.
Right.
So why not do it in a way that allows you to have a communication and not have this ongoing adversarial relationship?
We're coming up on our last break, and then we have about another 15 minutes. Folks, if you have questions, there's still plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. We're talking with author Stan Corey, author of The Divorce Dance. It's a great book. It pulls you in, gives you lots of aha moments, but helps explain the different processes that folks can go through, and actually tells the tale of two parties, Jim and Natalie, who go through and kind of their thought process as they're going through it. And it really helps lead you through it. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Stan Corey back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have with me on air Stan Corey, the author of The Divorce Dance. And Stan, I want to talk about a few more things, but I want to mention something in case I run tight on time. I want to make sure that I mention that in the book, Natalie, one of the characters, starts with a list of questions to ask the attorney, and that's on page 70, folks. If you get this book, I'm sure it's probably available in typical channels like Amazon.com. I'm not sure if it's in bookstores, but I assume it's available on Amazon. Is that correct, Stan?
Yes, Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay. So there's a list of questions that Natalie wants to ask the attorneys after she's done some research, and that list is nicely laid out on page 70. But what was also curious is you have to be ready for the questions that the attorney is going to ask you. Now, I imagine, and we're going to have two attorneys on next week as well to talk to continue our discussion. I thought it was good to get this intense knowledge 2 weeks in a row. But I expect that some attorneys probably will have a checklist as well, but I think it's always better to be prepared. And so there is a list of questions that they might ask the parties on page 97 of the book. And I think it's just always helpful if you're as ready as you can be when you're going to work with attorneys. If they know that you're going to be responsive and forthright and transparent and provide the information that they're seeking, it's just going to make the whole process more efficient. And frankly, I think attorneys like working with people who are kind of with it and get it together, and it helps to kind of be organized. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that, because I think it's really important.
Absolutely agree. The more work you can do, it also reduces the number of hours they have to go through things and saves you money because you're doing some of the groundwork.
And that might even give the parties a little bit more of kind of power for themselves, which makes me go to the other question I wanted to ask you about, the self-determination. Tell me what you mean by self-determination and why that would have an impact on the process.
Well, truly, self-determination means that typically if you go through a normal negotiated process, or unfortunately have to go through court, you're giving up your ability to input what's important to you and to have the things stated as you wish them to be. So when you do self-determination, what you're looking at is you're being an active participant. You're guiding the process with the attorneys, with the other professionals, so that you're saying, these are things that are really important to me, this is what we want to come out with. And as a result of that, if the both parties are working on this, but through self-determination, then they're going to have a greater ownership of the process and a greater ownership of the results of the agreement because they have had such input into it. And as we both know, when people have a connection to what they've come to agree upon, it's much more likely that they will comply with the agreement. Where people have no self-determination, where they leave it up to somebody else to make all the decisions for them, or they're kind of just a bystander in the process, is when you then later come up with, oh my gosh, that's not what I wanted. I want, and then they want to go back to court and fight it over again or argue over every little thing. So it's very important. The more self-determination you can have, the more involvement you have in the process, the more understanding you have of the consequences of the decisions and that you have in the process, then the more likely you're going to have a lasting, what I would call a positive divorce outcome. And I know that's kind of an oxymoron in a way to think of it a positive divorce, but the reality is if you can have a positive divorce, you can actually, I've had plenty of clients, you know, who have ended up being better divorced friends than being married, and they get along well together. The children are doing well, but they have become friends post divorce, and they are, and they've gotten on with their lives. They may have remarried, doing all those other things, and it, and the grandparents are involved, the families are involved. They're there for the growth of the kids and so forth. So again, there are ways to do this in a very positive manner.
Well, you know,
you're not trying to, you know, you're not trying to bring harm to the other party. You're trying to figure out a solution that allows both people to do well.
And you know, I have said this to parties that I've, you know, worked with. I say, you, especially when there's children, you want to demonstrate to that you're a problem solver and that you can resolve conflict and issues and in a positive way, because that's what we want, typically want our children to grow up learning, problem solving and being proactive in their decisions and doing the right thing. So I like folks to realize that it's a good example as well when you participate and are respectful as you want this whole process to be.
Right. And you also, you are retaining and some control. Sometimes divorce is when you're out of control. And by having an involvement and having the way that you're communicating and working through the process is as an active participant, then you're retaining control. And that's a big issue because so many times people in divorce are so...
Stan?
Whoop, I'm still here.
Yeah, good.
I must have hit the wrong button.
Okay. So let me, I want to talk about the collaborative divorce for a minute. So you've talked about in the book, different types of divorce. There's traditional, there's mediation, there's something called the hybrid, but then you talk about collaborative. Can you kind of highlight that? We have,
sure.
You know,
the collaborative, the book talk basically ends up with a hybrid type of version, but collaborative is a process that was developed, you know, a number of years ago, probably it's becoming more common, but 20, 30 years ago, it was its infancy, and in the last 15 years or so, it's becoming more of a common practice. This is where you have lawyers that agree they're not going to take this to court. That lawyer, everything is in an open environment. Lawyers and a couple are involved together, and then there may be a financial neutral who is truly a neutral in the process, who's there to provide financial information, but not to, you know, say that one thing should be said or done over another, but just to provide, you know, clarity on the financial information. You may have mental health professionals, and many times a mental health professional may be the coach in this, where the coach is sort of the person that keeps the process going. But the basic agreement is that you're going to come to terms without the threat of going to court. When you're in traditional process, many times there's a threat of going to court. If you can't work this out, well, we're going to go to court. We're going to set a court date and put all the pressure on you. In collaborative, you again have the greatest amount of transparency, the greatest amount of self-determination, and the ability to come to some unique results. I've been involved where we've had some very unique results as a result of being able to really explore alternatives that would normally not be considered in a traditional approach.
And so how is that different than the hybrid?
Well, the hybrid is where you have one party who doesn't want to do a collaborative, but you have that may just want to do, may use mediation or may use traditional. But the other party, in the book's case, Natalie, decides she needs to form her own team. Mm-hmm. So she forms her own team in a hybrid scenario where she has a mental health, she has a financial person, she has her lawyer, and they form this team that are able to work with, where Jim is just, he's reluctantly getting an attorney. He wants to use mediation as a way to try to resolve the matter, but he's also thinking at it as a cost-effective way to do it. And he ends up getting an attorney anyway. And so the attorney to help understand some of the legal matters that he thought he understood. And it turns out that he didn't understand him as well as he thought he did. And in this case, where Natalie is able to get a group of people so that she realizes she needs help. And so the lawyer and the people that get involved say, hey, you know, I think that you would benefit from having some additional people help give you guidance in this process. And so she kind of forms her own little collaborative team, I teasingly say. So she's kind of doing a one-side collaborative in that she's formed a collaborative team for herself, where Jim has decided to use more of a traditional mediator's approach. But what happens is Natalie gains a lot more knowledge, a lot more confidence, a greater understanding of things. She is involved through the whole process and really helps her dramatically come out with a better result.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the costs before we wrap up here?
Sure.
In the next minute or so? When people quite often are worried about the legal costs, maybe they're afraid, you know, an attorney's going to cost too much money. What are some of the kind of things to navigate there?
The easiest way to say it is obviously going to court is the most expensive typically.
Okay.
When you have two lawyers working and negotiating for you, that's the traditional approach. That can also be somewhat costly. When you have a mediator, mediators tend to be the least costly, or at least have a reputation for being that. And some people lean to a mediation as a way to save money. And that works as long as both people are cooperative and both people are being fully disclosing their situation and wanting to come to an agreement. And that can work very well. And there are a lot of very good mediators, and a lot of good cases are solved by mediation. Mediation is also used sometimes in the community events. I mean, in our area, the Northern Virginia Mediation Service is a community-based service to help people who do not have a lot of resources. Then you have collaborative. Collaborative sometimes has a misnomer. Well, I've got to hire all these different professionals. It's going to cost a lot more money. But in reality, it's no more expensive in most cases than having a traditional approach because of the ability to have everything laid out on the table and everybody trying to come up with a solution. So instead of hiding things behind the door as far as one attorney to the other, or having these meetings to try to strategize something to get the upper hand, they're all actually working together to try to find the best solution. So a collaborative can end up being no more expensive than having a traditional approach, and definitely less expensive than having a going to court and having a judge make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So Stan, you have been absolutely wonderful. So you have a minute to kind of wrap up. What would you like to leave people with?
Well, thank you. Well, first off, I want to appreciate the fact that you have me on your show, and it's been a good time. I enjoy this. I do a lot to try to get this word out that there are other alternatives than just doing a traditional approach or certainly a court case. I'm passionate about this work, and that I hope that people will do everything possible, especially when children are involved, to try to find a more respectful way to go through a divorce process, find that what works best for them, but don't be afraid to get help, and don't agree to something you don't understand. Make mm-hmm. sure you ask questions and make sure you understand it.
Right, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. I mean, you and I face that all the time.
Right. Stan, just absolutely wonderful. Really, really do appreciate it and appreciate your patience in coming on the show. The book can be found at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and people can also visit your website, divorcedance.com, for more information. But I think the book itself is just, tonight's show just set the stage for this. The book really is a great map. it's like a roadmap for this. And I think it's just really, really important for such a sensitive time in people's lives. So I really, really appreciate you doing it. I appreciate your passion, and you did a great job, and I really appreciate it. And if you ever want to come back on again, you know how to find me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on board with you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Stan. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks. Folks, next week we have, we're going to continue this discussion because I think it is that important and that relevant. Just like I'm a big cheerleader for estate planning and getting people to have their estate planning documents, I'm a big cheerleader that if you are going through a difficult time, we want to make sure you're going through it in the right way and that you work together with your spouse and do things the right way, especially when there's children, as Stan points out and discusses that process in his book, The Divorce Dance. So next week, I have two attorneys, Alan Tuller and Connie Nelson from Gross McGinley, and we're going to talk about what to know before the divorce happens. We have coming up Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. I want to thank Lori for being here, Stan, of course, Jeff, and thank you callers for calling in. Always my favorite part of the show. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.
You are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley, with translators at 93.9 Easton, Phillipsburg, 93.7 Fogelsville, Trexlertown, and once again on the web at WDIY.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. Police in Iowa have arrested a 46-year-old man in connection with the shooting deaths of two police officers this morning. Scott Michael Green turned himself into a state employee and was arrested without incident. Officials say the two officers were gunned down while sitting in their vehicles at two separate locations, about 2 miles apart. President Obama told supporters in North Carolina that turnout in that state could determine the winner in next week's presidential election. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Obama urged Democrats not to sit on the sidelines.
Speaking to a crowd of some 16,000 at the University of North Carolina, Obama said voters face a clear choice between a gritty and resilient Hillary Clinton.